Good morning. I see the word didn't completely get out. I'm preaching this morning, and we still have a good crowd here. Needless to say, I'm filling big shoes, and I know that, to be up here this morning because we have an amazing preacher. And I am so thankful for him, and I tell him that on a regular basis. And the reason being is he makes me think sometimes more than I'm used to, and in different ways than I'm used to. So I appreciate him more than he realizes. But again, I would also like to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers, but those of us that are a little older, there's nothing like Father's Day, but what's even grander is grandfather, grandchildren. And that's what makes life worthwhile. And as somebody had told me once, the gift of grandchildren is for not killing our children when we raise them. So, this morning I'd like to take a few minutes to talk to you. Hopefully I will keep it brief. I'm a big believer in brief sermons. In the late 1940s, early 1950s, tyranny had come back after World War II and it started again. The United Nations, along with the United States, went into Korea to try to save tyranny from taking over that whole country, to try to keep peace, to try to keep God in a nation. But needless to say, we were losing badly. We were being pushed off the peninsula and almost in the water when a plan was put together. A plan on how to hopefully turn the tide and win the war. General MacArthur pulled together his generals and came up with a plan to land at Incheon. They told him he was crazy, it would never work. There was no way it could happen. And on September 15th, 1950, we went on land with an amphibious landing force, landing in areas with restricted passages to where the enemy could see us coming and control. Dangerous currents from 3 to 10 knots, and 3 to 10 knots doesn't sound like much unless you're in the water fighting it. Surrounded by seawalls where they could shoot at him and continue to take out the army that we brought in. Having to land the forces, what's even more critical, was in two phases. Because with the tides and the way they rolled, they got one group of men in, and it was 19 and a half hours before the second phase could go in. But they went in anyway. And as we well know, they won, and they cut Korea in half and marched south and never gave up again. That story will tie into what we're going to talk about a little bit this morning, because it's all about willing to fight, knowing when to fight, how to do it, and how to plan for what's best. Nehemiah is where I want to talk this morning. Nehemiah was a great example. I want to thank Brother Lloyd for reading that scripture this morning. If you would like to follow along, take out your Bibles, and we'll be reading from the first six chapters through different parts of Nehemiah. Nehemiah had life's challenges. It tells us how to deal with challenges and our focus and attitude as we deal with our life. I tell people we read books every day to make ourselves better. We read books on how to do things, how to be stronger, how to be a better person, how to be able to be successful in business and everything else. My contention is the first how-to book was written in Nehemiah. If you sit down and read Nehemiah, you'll find everything you need to know to be successful in life. Because he was a man of God. He was a man that knew how to deal with life. He knew how to deal with his work. And he knew how to show us what our focus should be as children of God. And that is the greatest focus that we have in life. In Nehemiah 1, verses 3 through 6, it talks about the Jerusalem in destruction, and how he mourned and wept for everything that was happening in Jerusalem. That great city, that city of God, that had been captured, destroyed, and was falling apart. And he said, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broke down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servant, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. Jerusalem, one of the greatest cities of all time, one of the most fortified and strongest places, now laid in ruin. And it broke his heart to see his countrymen scattered everywhere, their city destroyed. He prayed to God fervently for everything he needed, for help, for forgiveness, not only for himself and his time, but those before him that created what they had dealt with. In Ecclesiastes, the first chapter, in the 13th verse, it says, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. What we need to understand, no matter how tough it is, no matter how bad it gets, we can overcome. We can beat what's before us. Exercise is not a bad thing. Some people say it's a four-letter word. Some people try to avoid it at all costs. The most exercise they want is a fork from the plate to their mouth. But exercise makes us stronger. It makes us feel better and do better. Well, the same thing happens with what we're doing with our lives. Exercising. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and the 13th verse, we're told that we'll not be tested with more than is common to man. And there's not anything that we'll be tested with that there's not a way of escape. What we need to remember is everything that we're tested with and tried with is to exercise us, to make us stronger, make us better Christians, to help us get ready for that next battle we have to fight. It's not rolling over. It's not giving up. It's not saying I can't take it. It's saying, all right, Lord, help me through this one. I know there's more coming. I want to be ready. Because it's being able to do that which makes us stronger. But Nehemiah was a man of God. And because of that, he was granted many things. In Nehemiah, the second chapter, verses 7 through 9, it talks about how he plans. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given to me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertained to the house, and for the walls of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letter. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. What makes you think that Nehemiah just went into the king and said, hey, give me a letter, I'm leaving? Nehemiah lived a godly life. He lived a good life. He was a man with a great reputation. He was someone that the king respected. Someone that the king knew that he was with God. And he respected that. If not, why would he? As I tell most young people I'm around, the one thing you must remember, and I've told my children all their life, a reputation will take a lifetime to gain and a second to lose. Nehemiah's lifetime is what got him what he needed. And that's what we must remember. Every day of our life, we're building a reputation that will either make us stronger and better, respected and loved, or despised. And we must remember that. If you're going to run a marathon, do you wake up tomorrow morning and say, 26 miles, let's go. 1 foot in front of the other, we're going to make it happen. That's right. No way. I said that for my first 3-mile run at Quantico when I went in the Marine Corps, but guess what? They had other plans for me. But I got ready before. You had to be. Planning is what life is all about. If you wait till the minute you're getting ready to do it, you're going to fail because the body's not ready, the mind's not ready. You can't continue to do the things you need to do to persevere. I've seen people try to run marathons who weren't ready and they pass out, fall over. Their life is in danger. But if you look at this, planning is what it's all about. You don't get up the first morning and say, all right, we're going to do a 3-mile run if you're out of shape. You're going to start with a walk and then you're going to move it a little further. Some people I've known went as long as a year preparing for a marathon. One of the gentlemen that impressed me the most is when I lived in Oklahoma City when it came to something like this. He was 85 years old and still running half marathons at least 4 to 5 times a year. I'd have been lucky to get a mile. But this man was prepared. He continued to keep himself prepared, not only physically, mentally, but spiritually. And that's where we need to be. In Nehemiah, the second chapter, verses 11 through 16, it says, so I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days, and I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I or any man what my God had put in my heart to do in Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by the night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the walls and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that were. He went out and reviewed the task that was ahead of him. If I would have been there walking through, as a lot of people would, they looked up and went, this is insurmountable. It can't happen. There's too much here to fix. And if he wouldn't have put a plan together and would just walked in and said, we're going to do this, what would have happened? The people around him without a plan would have said, no, we're not going. It's not going to happen. We're staying here. We know who's on the other side that's going to come in and kill us. If they know what we're doing, they want things to stay status quo. They don't want things to change. They would have let their emotions get in the way instead of dealing with the task before them. The one thing we must remember, and the reason it's so important to review our task and put together a plan, is because the worst thing in the world is to react to a situation instead of act to a situation. I know Dave has told some of you the story. He and I became much closer about 2 weeks ago, and especially on the way back from Indianapolis. We both saw our lives before our eyes. We were flying back, and the air traffic controller vectoring us around to bring us back in brought us right in the middle of a thunderstorm. And immediately we climbed 3,000 feet just like that. And immediately after that, we were diving at about 2,500 feet a minute. We broke out of the clouds, and all Dave could see was the ground in front of us, and we were tilted to the right. It threw us around. It beat us up. We felt like we were in a washing machine and wondered, was this it? But preparation, training, being ready, being able to act when a situation happens instead of reacting is what kept us alive. Dave knew what he was doing and he did his part. I used my instruments and I did mine, and that's why we're here today. And that's exactly what we need to know in every day of our life. We prepare. We plan. I was an old Marine, and the guy that trained me how to fly was an Air Force colonel, fighter pilot. Oh, he was mean to me. He beat me up. He did everything to me you couldn't think of. But I called him when I got out of that plane on the way home and thanked him for being alive. Not only God took care of me, but training, being able to act, being able to plan, review what's ahead of you, and using what's in your capabilities is what makes us better. We can never let emotion take over. We must, as Christians, be ready. Nehemiah then enlisted to help. He enlisted the help he needed in Nehemiah the second chapter, verses 17 and 18. It said, "Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we may be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, and also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work." They were ready. A plan was made. The task was looked at and reviewed and finalized. And now he enlisted the help he needed. Well, folks, the problem that most people have today in today's society, and you've heard this, is the fact that what happens is I'm going to keep it to myself. I can do this by myself. I don't need any help. Guess what? That's not true. Nehemiah proves it. What was the first thing he did? He prayed to God. He prayed to God for help constantly. But then what did he do? He went to his brothers and sisters and enlisted help. Look around you in this auditorium. If you need help, where else would you rather go than right here? Somebody you know that has the same outlook on life, the same goals in life, and has the same goal for you as you have for yourself and you have for them. If we go into a battle by ourselves, we're in trouble. We must be ready. We must enlist help. We must enlist the right help. If Nehemiah would have went out just in the villages and the fields surrounding and enlisted help, what would have happened? The people that wanted to kill him would have known him before he started and had a chance. They would have overtaken him. Just like at the Battle of Inchon. They started attacking another place. And the North Koreans pulled their forces away, which opened up the window they needed to sneak in that envelope and make it happen before they realized what was going on before them. In Hebrews 4, in the 16th chapter, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." In the time of need, who's there for us? God. Who's the one that's there to take care of us? God. Who can we depend on when things are down? God. Does that mean that we set back and say, God will take care of it? All I got to do is sit here and wait for it to happen? No. We have to work. We have to do something. We can't just sit back and wait. One day we'll rest, but today we must work for our Lord. We must work for Him. We're His army to work for Him to make things happen. A funny story I heard one time, and I'm sure most of you have probably heard it. A guy was sitting out in the field, and the floods happened, and the gates opened up on the dam, and it started flooding in the field, and he stepped up on a stump. And he was sitting there, and the water was up to his waist, and the boat came by and says, "Get in, it's flood's coming, it's not going to stop." "That's okay, the Lord will save me." The water kept rising, and he moved into the house and was on the front porch. They came by again, and he said, "Come on, get in, the water's coming up, it's not going to stop." He said, That's okay. The Lord's going to save me. Well, finally, a helicopter showed up, and he was on the roof, and the water was up to his waist. And he said, come on, get in. He said, no, don't worry about it. The Lord's going to save me. I'm okay. Well, the water got him. And he went to heaven. He was standing in front of the Lord, and he said, Lord, I don't understand. I had the right faith. I was confident. I believed in you. I prayed to you. Why didn't you save me? The Lord looked at him and said, you know, that's kind of confusing to me. I sent a car, I sent a boat, and I sent a helicopter. What happened? Well, sometimes we've got to step out. We can't just take it for granted. We've got to know that God's there for us. He's going to give us the tools to overcome. We've got to use those tools. We've got to be a worker. We've got to be ready. We've got to be in the Lord's army. We've got to train daily. What does that mean to train daily? It means to study, to read the scriptures, to be stronger. One of the things I find interesting is I have friends that I know in the denominational world. And one day I was talking to one who was a Catholic priest that I'd gotten to know. And he says, I'm retiring. I'm going to have a life of ease. I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm going to go back. I'm not going to tend to a flock anymore. I'm not going to preach. I'm not going to do any of these things. I'm just going to relax the rest of my life. Wait a minute. How do you do that? As Christians, our work never stops until this life is over. As I've always been told, if you're not moving forward, you're backing up because everybody's passing you. You can't stop. You've got to continue to focus. You've got to continue to do what's right to become stronger, better, and the right soldier. We must complete our tasks. We must continue to complete our tasks as we have set before us on a regular basis. In Nehemiah 3, he was rebuilding the city. The city that was crucial to them at that time for overcoming what was before them. Completing their tasks daily, working forward, no matter what was going on, they were under attack on a regular basis. Just like we are, we need to defend ourselves. Every day that we're alive, we're under attack. The devil doesn't stop and say, oh, it's an easy day. I'm going to give Jerry a break. I'm going to let Dave take a day off and relax. No. Every day, we have to be able to defend ourselves, to be ready to fight for what is right, to fight for our souls. In Nehemiah 4, verses 11, it says, and our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. That's exactly what you need to be worried about. That's what we need to be concerned about. They sneak in. In the night, when you least expect it, when your guard is down, that's when they're coming in. That's when they're coming out after us. The devil wants to kill our soul. He's after us. He wants to win at all costs. In Nehemiah 4 and 14, it says, and looked, and I looked and rose up and saith unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. What are we to fight for? It's real simple. I fight for the Lord, and I fight for you. We need to fight for each other. We need to work together. You keep hearing people talk about being that shining light in the community. Well, guess what? If we work together and there's one, that light becomes so bright that people can't miss it. They can't ignore it. They can't forget about it. We know who we must fight for. In Nehemiah 4 and 18, 17 and 18, this is part of what Brother Lloyd read to us this morning. And this is a verse I take to heart every day. It's a great verse you should tuck away and look at on a regular basis. They which build it on the city, and they that bear burdens with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, everyone had his sword girded in his side, and so builded, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me. With a sword in one hand and working with the other. Tell me that's not what we should be doing every day of our life. The Word. Is that not our sword? Is that not the Word of God? What we need to win, to overcome, to fight the battle, to be stronger every day? But don't forget, while we're defending ourselves, we need to continue to work to make ourselves stronger. To fortify the city around us, to fortify what's around us to where we can win. Not we. Let's back up. So God can win. Isn't that what it's all about? We win when God wins, and that's what we should always remember. Don't forget every morning when you wake up, the sword in one hand or girded to your side and working with the other. Because no matter what, work can be great. As Dave said, didn't we have a great week? Wasn't it a wonderful week? That's when you get lulled into a time when you can be caught. Somebody can sneak up on you. It's also when times are tough. Those that are weak give in and throw in the towel. You'll find I like stories. I think stories bring it home, and it makes a point. You may have heard this one, you may not. But a man had trials and tribulations, and he was wore out, he was exhausted, he was exasperated with everything he was faced with. And he started praying to the Lord, "Lord, this is more than I can handle. I need your help. Please take this cross from me." And the Lord looked at him and says, "Okay, my child," and he took the cross. He said, "Go into the next room and you pick a cross that you want, that you believe you can bear and you can take care of and you can persevere on." He was so thankful. He opened the door and walked in the other room. It was this great big room, and he saw crosses that were 10 stories high. He saw all these things that were huge, and he's thinking, "How can I handle this?" And he looks in the back corner, and there was this little cross in the back corner. He said, "Lord, that's the one I want." The Lord started chuckling a little bit, and he said, "Lord, what's so funny?" He said, "That's the cross you just gave me." No matter how large and how big we have tasks in front of us, and no matter how bad we think it is, somebody's there to help us. God is always there. Remember to pray. Remember to ask for help. And if it gets that bad, remember those around us. They're here to help us. They'll have ideas. They can help us through things. We're not alone. In Nehemiah, the 5th chapter, the 7th verse, we need to always be faithful. We need to always remember to be faithful to our God. Rebuke those who do evil around us and stand as an example. In 5:7 it says, "Then I consulted with myself and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers and said unto them, 'You exact usury, every one of his brother, and I set a great assembly against you.'" It's real simple in this life to sit back in a corner, keep your head down when things are tough, and not worry about it, to go, "You know, it's not my fight. I don't need to be involved. That's John's fight. He can take care of it. John's my brother. I got to take care of him. I got his back, or I should. If I don't, what good am I?" The point is, we need to constantly rebuke those that do evil and protect those that are doing well and that are doing good. We need to always be faithful. And in Nehemiah 6, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at the time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, 'Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plains of Ono.' But they thought to do me mischief." The thing we need to remember, folks, is this. Don't get lulled in a sense of nothing can happen. I'm above the ability to be touched. That's exactly what they were trying to do with Nehemiah here. The walls were built. Everything was up. Everything but the gates, they could fortify. They were fortified enough that they could fight them off and win if they thought they could have done it on their own. But they were prepared. They were ready. They knew God was on their side, and they used common sense and acted upon what was in front of them instead of reacting. What I ask you this morning, Nehemiah was a man of God. He was a man of God that I hope one day I can be like. Willing to take the chance to go to the king, ask for something, travel across lands that were dangerous, knowing he was going to be in a fight. He had a hard task ahead of him, but he was willing to fight anyway, just as each and every one of us should be doing. The question I have for you is, are you Nehemiah? Are you like Nehemiah? Are you someone that when the task gets tough, you're ready to go? As the old saying goes, when it gets tough, the tough get going. They're ready to go. They're prepared. They've studied. They've learned. They're ready to do what it takes to win. Not for themselves, but for them around them and for the Lord. That's what you need to ask yourself. Are you ready to win? Do you want to be a winner? Because the only winners in this world are God's people, are Christians, the ones that Christ came to this earth and died for, the ones that he gave his life for to wash away our sins, to take on the sins of all man. He was separated from his Father because God could not be next to sin when he took on the sins of the world. On Father's Day, what worse thing is there if you have a loving Father than to think you're going to be separated from him and not know how long? Wouldn't that be tough? So my question to you this morning is, where are you? If we can help you in any way, the prayers of the congregation, anyone can help you. We're here. We're here to fight for you and to help you. If you've not become a Christian, if you don't know what it's like to be in a route to being saved, where you can be with God when this time's over, the waters are ready. We're ready. Come forward so we can help you as we stand and sing.